today I was told, well, not today, but I was told that for today I could go over 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 13 to 16, or any part of that I wanted to. And being the person I am, I said, I'll just do the whole thing. So, we're going to read, I'll read the verses, which is very appropriate concerning the verses that we're reading. So, 1 Timothy chapter 4, and I'm going to read verses 12 through 16, even though I'm only going to be talking about 13 through 16. So 12 through 16 of chapter 4. Let no man despise your youth, but be an example to those who believe in word, in your way of life, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, pay attention to reading, to exhortation, and to teaching. Don't neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the elders. Be diligent in these things, give yourself wholly to them, that your progress may be revealed to all. Pay attention to yourself and to your teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. All right, let's pray and then we'll begin. Father in heaven, we're thankful for your word. We're thankful that we have your word written down for us to read in these days. We do pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to understand and would teach us your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so first of all, who wrote the book of 1 Timothy? Paul, the Apostle Paul. And to whom was the book of 1 Timothy written? Timothy. So we're going to end our teaching right here and say this wasn't for us, so let's just go find a different book. Well, that would be nice. But it would appear that in spite of this being written by Paul to Timothy, that there's things that can be learned from this, and the Christians, the church leaders throughout the centuries have felt that this was worth reading for all Christians, and they've included it in the canon of books to read. So we're going to read it and learn about it and see what it has to say for us. So in verse 13, he starts out, he says, Until I come, pay attention to reading, to exhortation, and to teaching. So in this, he says, until I come, and specifically, that's Paul saying, I'm expecting to join you, Timothy, wherever you're at. So until I come, here's what I want you to do. And maybe when I get there, something different will happen, but at least until I come, this is what I want. Well, Paul has, whether he got there or not, we're not sure, but he probably did. But I think it's still applicable, until I come can also very well imply when Christ comes. Until Christ comes, here are things that we can do still today. Until I come. And he says, pay attention. If anyone's a parent, they've said that to their children 1,000 times. Pay attention. And so Paul says, pay attention. And to what? To reading, to exhortation, and to teaching. So reading, this is, in our day and age, in our country, we tend to think of reading the Bible as something we do privately or maybe at home, but generally an individual does it themselves. But here, it's very much meaning the public reading of the Scriptures. At that time and for times before that and times since that, not everyone was literate. In fact, most people wouldn't have been literate, and having access to the Scriptures would not be so common. It's a unique thing in the last few hundred years that we have the access we do to the Scriptures, and that it's if you have 10 Bibles in your home, that would not be surprising at all, right? But that's unique to the last few centuries. That was not common. So give attention to public reading of Scripture. This is how people heard the word of God. This is where they learned what did God actually say. Public reading of Scripture was, for those of you who have studied or haven't studied, there were several councils, church councils, in the first several hundred years of the church. Some of those councils were what they called ecumenical councils, which meant the whole church was invited, or at least leaders from the whole church were invited, all around, anyone who could come. And some were regional. So one of the regional councils was the Council of Carthage, which would have been a North African church council. And it took place 419 AD. And one of the things that they decided upon, and they, you know, had, it was one of the canons of the council, as they would say, is that no other no other books or writings should be read in the church apart from canonical scripture. And they went on to list, here's all the books that are part of the canon. But it was important to them. So I don't think that they were saying, you know, hey, no other books are of value to Christians, so only read the scripture. They were saying only read the scripture in the church meetings. I think what they were meaning to say was that we want to make the most of the time that we have that's available for public reading by reading the scriptures, which the average person is not going to have in their hand. They're not going to necessarily even have been familiar with or heard before. So this is the one time that they're going to hear it. Let's make the most of it and only read that when we have that opportunity. So why was it so important to read to read the scripture? And just the reading and exhortation and teaching have all generally gone together for a long, long time, right? Paul in the upper room seemed to be able to exhort and teach quite a bit based on whatever scriptures he was teaching about. So why is it important to keep track of this? And ultimately, it's to help us stay grounded in the truth as a defense against the evil, whether it's a defense against the lies that we have a tendency to believe, whether as a culture, our American culture, we have a tendency to believe certain lies. As individuals, we each have our own special lies that are more attractive to us than others. And so we need the truth, the Word of God, to remind us, no, here's what the truth is, right? Here's what the lie is. Here's what the truth is, to keep us on the right path. Can anyone think of examples from Scripture of public reading?
Jesus announced that he was fulfilling the Scriptures in Isaiah.
Right, that was one of these that was written in Luke. I think it might have been in Matthew also, but it was definitely in Luke chapter 4. He came to Nazareth, and it says, as was his custom, he went into the synagogue, and they said, hey, he stood up to read. Okay, you're standing up to read. Here's the roll of Scripture. He opens it up and reads from it, and then comments on it, right? Reading, exhortation, and teaching. Any other examples from Scripture?
Would it have been public reading when in Josiah's time they found the Bible, and they heard the Bible spoken and realized? That had been public reading?
I don't remember. I know that he read it, or it was read to him. I don't remember if they read it out in public or not for everyone.
There was a passage that talks about them reading the entire Bible to everyone in Israel. I'm not sure if it was Josiah reading.
Well, there was in the time of Nehemiah, they did that. In the time of Nehemiah and Ezra was an example where everyone was together and they decided, hey, we're going to read. And so they were reading the scriptures, and there was other people there. The Levites were charged with making sure the people understood it as it was read. So that was an example. In Acts 15, when Paul was going around, he says, Moses from generations of old has in every city those who preach him being read in the synagogues every Sabbath. So it was an opportunity. So that had been going on and benefited the spread of the gospel. And then in Colossians chapter 4, Paul instructed, he says, when this letter has been read among you, cause it to be read also in the assembly of the Laodiceans. And read the letter from Laodicea. Because there was the reading of Scripture, the public reading was a thing even at the time of the Apostle Paul. So, since we have the Bible and reading in church is not does not seem to have the same significance, at least the reading in itself, exhortation and teaching still has great importance. Does this have much to do with us? And I think yes, it does. In Deuteronomy 6:7, Moses said, he says, "You shall teach them diligently the ways of God. Teach them diligently to your children. And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by your way, when you lie down and when you rise up." So most of us are not leaders and teachers in the church, but many of us are parents, or we have other ways that we're influencing others. And so we have the opportunity to pay attention in our homes or in other situations to reading, exhortation, and teaching. All right, in verse 14, he says, "Don't neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the elders." So this verse is one of those verses that you go over quickly. Who knows what the gift was that Paul was talking about? See, I don't either. What's that?
Called prophetic utterance.
Well, the gift that was in you, it was given you by prophecy. Right, it wasn't given him, it wasn't prophecy, or maybe it was prophecy. But it was given him through prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the elders. So it's not made clear what that gift is. I'm not aware that it's made clear anywhere. But he had some gift. And he's told to not neglect the gift that is in him. Now, what does that mean, to not neglect? And I think this is something that is important for all of us and to pay attention to not neglect in this case, right? When we're applying the phrase "not neglect" to ourselves, we might apply it or tend to apply it at one level. And when we tell someone else to not neglect something, we might apply it to a little higher level, right? But what does it really mean to not neglect? And I think it means to do all that is possible to preserve, to strengthen, and to increase the gift and the things connected to it. So it's not just, you know, okay, well, I got this, don't lose it, but I need to preserve it. I also should be strengthening and increasing it. So it was given to him by prophecy. No one seemed clear what that prophecy was, just that some thought, or there was several commentators who believed that there must have been some prophecies made about Timothy, either when he was young, at some point, that were somehow connected to his current service. So then the not neglecting this, it reminds me of the illustration. There's an illustration that Jesus gave of the servants, the three servants who were given the money, right? One was given, was it five coins? Another, or was it, no, 10 coins, 5 coins, and 1 coin. And the first one, he comes back, he says, "I doubled your money." The second one says, you know, "Here's this." He had made a bit back as well. And the third one, he had just buried it. He had simply made sure he knew where it was and didn't do anything else with it. And Jesus, by the story, says that that was not what was being looked for. That did not fall within the parameters of do not neglect. But the not neglecting would have also included, besides preserving, to strengthen and increase. And so that the third guy did not strengthen or increase what he had at all. And so it wasn't enough just to say, well, I didn't lose it. Here it is. So what about for us? Again, we're not Timothy working in the ministry, but God's given us things, whether it's family or friends or a mind and aptitude for certain work. Whatever we have that God's given us, let's make the most of it. Paul wrote in another place, let's make the most of the time because the days are evil. Make the most of the skills, the qualities, the family that you have, that we can return it with an increase to God. And then verse 15, he says, be diligent in these things. Give yourself wholly to them, that your progress may be revealed to all. The question comes up is, be diligent in what things? All right. So, be diligent in these things. And what things at a minimum? I mean, it could include much more throughout the epistle, right? There's many things that Paul was exhorting or instructing Timothy to do. But at a very minimum, saying be a pattern to the believers in word, conduct, love, spirit, faith, and purity. Again, give attention to the public reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. Don't neglect the gift that is in you. Be diligent in these things. And then give yourself wholly to them. The translation that I have used says give yourself wholly to them. I think more literally it says be in these things. Which I think is much the same, just a different way to say it. And that your progress may be revealed to all. So be in these things, or give yourself wholly to them. To whom much is given, much is required. Timothy, as a teacher, had been given more time. So he has, I would think Timothy had a little more time than the average working person to give himself wholly to those things, to being an example, to increasing in those things. We have perhaps less time to give ourselves wholly to them, but do we use the time that we have for a profit? Do we use the time that is available to us to give ourselves to them, to be in these things? And also, I know some people have the feeling like, well, you know, I'm not a pastor, I'm not a teacher, so therefore, you know, I'm not really worth, there's not much value in me as a Christian, right? Or I'm not a missionary, or I'm not whatever, I'm just, you know, Joe Schmo working a regular job. How great is that? But most Christians, that's what they did, and that's what the apostles understood, was that most Christians would be average working people. Just the average normal person, whether working a regular job. In those days, it would even be common that there would be slaves, that they might be slaves. But just average working people, that's who Christ was calling to follow him. And so there is still the to be in these things. We can be in these things in our work. I'm sure all of us have had experiences of having to deal with other people at our work and had the opportunity to learn to be patient, to learn to show by word and deed that, you know, hey, there's a different way to deal with this situation or a different way to respond to this person than most people are responding to this person. So we can still be in these things. And we can make progress, even as regular average people who are following Jesus Christ. So he says to Timothy, he says, be diligent, give yourself wholly to them, so that your progress may be revealed to all. Which is an interesting thing to say. It seems like he's saying a similar thing as in verse 12, be an example, and maybe saying it differently. Or maybe saying more, but I'm sure he's not saying, you know, that your progress can be revealed to all for the sake of pride. We could generally rule that out. I think it's reasonable to say, for the sake of a setting an example, for the purpose of providing a concrete demonstration of humility. I think anyone who's met a teacher that you'd feel like, you know, hey, this person has, you know, progressed beyond most. I would like to believe that humility would be a characteristic that we would connect with that person. Because I think in order to truly grow in the faith, you have to have humility. There has to be humility. And so it would be to for his progress to be revealed to all, it would reveal not pride, but humility. I think another thing that this progress would do, it would enable those being taught to trust more in the things being taught, that they're in fact from God. If Timothy is growing in faith and in his life and his dealings with others, it would sure make me feel like, you know, this guy probably is from God. When he tells me to do something, yeah, I think he's speaking on behalf of God, because he sure seems to live more like God and seems to become more like the guy he's preaching about every day. I was trying to think, is there any examples of this in the scripture? Can anyone think of one? Anyone from the scripture that, you know, whose progress was revealed to all? Paul?
Joseph
definitely progressed, and his brothers, it was pretty clear to them when they finally realized who he was. In fact, he had progressed so much, they had no idea it was him. Right? Moses, yeah, went, it took 40 years. And Joseph, it was several years as well, right? It wasn't just a single day. It took years. And Moses, it was decades. But his progress was revealed to all, because he showed back up in Egypt and was not the same guy who simply said, you know, hey, I just bumped this guy off and resolved the situation. He was a different person. One of the people I thought of was Samuel. He showed up as this little kid in the temple with Eli, or in the tabernacle with Eli, and it says in chapter 3 that Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. In all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, from the furthest north to the furthest south, they knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. So it was someone, he was someone who, by he was growing, and because of his, he grew, and the Lord being with him in that, that everyone knew this guy was from God. And then I think the other example I thought of was David. Where someone started out as the youngest sibling, the most worthless of the kids, and yet he started out killing Goliath, and it didn't just stop there. It wasn't like, hey, I hit my high point, and that's about it. No, there was Goliath, and then he was ultimately made a leader in the military, and he led faithfully in that, and he was then chased out of the military, but he still led faithfully, and he showed time and again his faithfulness and his growth, so that people knew that when Saul was gone, hey, this is the guy who led us. All right, and then moving on to verse 16. He says, pay attention to yourself and to your teaching. Continue in these things, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. And I think this verse, this verse has often stood out to me. There's the two things: pay attention to yourself and to your teaching. Which I think is somewhat self-explanatory. If you think of modern preachers that have gone bad, right? They've generally gone bad for one of two reasons. They didn't pay attention to themselves, or they didn't pay attention to their teaching. Right? Like when I was a kid, there was Robert Tilden on the TV. And whatever his life was like, I don't know, he was at least sane enough to be on TV and to, you know, whatever. But his teaching did not seem in keeping with the scripture, right? But then there was other people who, their lives, they didn't pay attention to themselves. Their teaching wasn't bad, but they didn't pay attention to themselves and ended up going astray in their lives and how they lived. In 1 Timothy, in chapter 1, there's the example in verse 19. He says there, Paul says, you know, holding faith and a good conscience. He says some have thrust that away. So faith and a good conscience, which is similar to the idea of teaching and yourself, how you live. He said some have thrust that away and made a shipwreck concerning the faith, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander. Right, two men at that time who had not paid attention to themselves and their teaching. In the Old Testament, remember Moses sent the 12 spies into the Promised Land. And they came back and it was great. The land was great. But 10 of those guys didn't pay attention to their teaching. And they ended up teaching that, hey, we're going to lose. We're going to be destroyed. God sending us to destroy us. Right? And what happened? What was the result of them not paying attention to their teaching? Right? They not only lost themselves, but a whole generation was lost in the wilderness. Right? But on the other hand, there was two of those spies who paid attention to themselves and their teaching. And when the bad spies, or the 10 spies were saying, hey, you know, God hates us, he wants to destroy us, we're going to be wiped out. These guys were saying, no, you know, God is good. He told us to go in. Sure, the people are big, but God will give us the victory just like he's always done. And so they saved themselves. And it seems like not many or no one listened to them. But if any had, they would have been saved with them. Another example was Dathan and Abiram, were two people who brought about through their willingness to not pay attention to the teaching, but decided that they were something more than what they should be, brought about not only their own destruction, but the destruction of their families and those who followed them. Moses and Joshua paid attention to themselves and their teaching as well, and were known as faithful leaders in Israel. And Moses just had the one time where he struck the rock when he was supposed to speak to it. And God dealt with that, and he wasn't allowed to enter the Promised Land. But overall, Moses and Joshua were paid attention to both their teaching and themselves. Now, what do you think about Samson? What did he not pay attention to? He didn't pay attention to himself. He didn't, you know, he wasn't known as a teacher, but he seemed to be faithful to God, at least in the sense of he knew God was the true God, right? He didn't necessarily know a lot about how to follow God faithfully in the ways God wanted, but he knew that God was a true living God, and he didn't stray to idols. Which was great for that time, but he didn't pay attention to himself and ended up in a situation that was not so great in the end. What about David? David paid attention to himself and his teaching except when he didn't. Right? And when he didn't, now, how often didn't he pay attention to himself and his teaching? Yeah, at least once, maybe a couple of times, like the time, like was it Chronicles, where it says that in that one he wanted the people numbered. So you could say maybe twice, right?
There was also the time he was going to kill Nabal.
Which one? Wait, kill.
Abigail stopped him.
Yeah, Abigail.
Oh,
stopped
yeah,
him.
Yeah.
But he
yeah,
still was talking to himself there.
Yeah.
Yeah, temper there. Yeah.
Right. So, but someone, he was willing to listen in that case. So, you know, hey, he didn't get off the track, just was heading towards the wrong thing. But definitely with Bathsheba and Uriah, he didn't pay attention to himself and ended up down a path that was not good. And it was costly both to himself and his family and the nation, right? He ended up losing the kingdom for a little while. His son, who he loved, was the one trying to take over and ended up dead. There was other issues. That son also killed someone else. The nation suffered as a whole because there was a war. People died in war. It wasn't just Absalom who died. There was many who died in that war. So the whole nation suffered as a result of it, right? So not paying attention to himself and his teaching was very costly. Daniel, on the other hand, was an example of someone who did pay attention to himself and his teaching. I don't know, is there anything bad we can say about Daniel? I don't know. I've never heard, you know, there's not anything bad you can say about Daniel. He got thrown into a lion's den and he trusted in God. And even the king knew, you know, hey Daniel, we know you're faithful to your God. He's going to save you. Daniel paid attention, and even such, Daniel didn't just save himself by how he lived, but he prayed for the restoration of the nation, and the nation was restored. Right? That was one of the chapters is Daniel praying, you know, God, hey, the time has come. You know, we've sinned, we confess that, but we pray that you would restore us as you promised. And so the nation was restored. One last example is that I thought of was Solomon. Solomon, he has at least three books in the Bible, and depending on if you accept the larger canon, then he has five books in the Bible that are known as the five books of Solomon. Right? That's pretty good. You know, Paul in the New Testament said more books than that. But there's not a lot of people in the Old Testament that had more books than that. You know, Moses had five books. But, you know, Solomon, he was a great teacher. But he didn't pay attention to himself. Because it says at the end of his life, the multitude of his wives, which was something very clearly stated by Moses about the king not multiplying wives, and not marrying particular wives. And he didn't pay attention to those things. And so ended up worshiping false gods and went much further astray than his father David. Any other examples you can think of? If not, that's okay. But again, generally as a reminder, today when you think of those who have gone astray, it's generally one of the two things, right? Their teaching or themselves. Judas. Yeah. What would you say he didn't pay attention to?
Teaching
Christ. Yeah.
And himself because of greed.
Yeah. Yep, Judas. So, again, these were written to Timothy, but when going through the illustrations, one of the reasons I liked all the illustrations is it made it more clear that hey, this is for us as well, right? We're people that have the opportunity to pay attention to or not to both teaching and to ourselves, right? What are we believing and listening to and following in terms of teaching? And how are we living ourselves, right? On the one hand, it's easy to say, well, I agree with all this teaching, but I don't necessarily live according to it. Or, you know, hey, you know, I want to live great, but that teaching's that's not true, right? There's something else is true besides that. Moses wrote in Deuteronomy, he says, observe and hear all these words which I command you, that it may go well with you and with your children after you when you do that which is good and right in the Lord your God's eyes. Right? And that was Moses not writing to the leaders of the community, but speaking to all the people of the community, to all of us, right? All of us who have families, who have jobs, that we have the opportunity and the instruction to pay attention. All right, that's the end. I probably said pay attention enough times, and I'm sure I'll say it again when I get home about other things. But there's 1 Timothy chapter 4, 13 to 16. So let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, we are thankful for your word. We're thankful for the exhortations that we've received. We are children and need to be reminded to pay attention, both to ourselves and to the teaching. You help us to take this exhortation to heart and remember as we're in our homes, with our families, while we're at work, when in the day-to-day things of life, that remember this is for us, and that we can be a blessing to ourselves and to families and generations beyond us, or we can be a curse to ourselves and to many around us. Help us to choose you, to choose the life that you give. In Jesus' name, amen.